I've always found this passage from Romans one of the most comforting, in the best sense of the word, making strong. That's what comfort means, to make strong. Well, in that sense, the most comforting passage in the Bible. Have any of you had the experience that said, well, I need to pray? So maybe you get on your knees, or you're lying in your bed, or standing up, or walking down the street. And you say, now I'm going to pray. And nothing happens. What's going on here? You know, I think that's a normal experience myself. It is for me. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what this prayer business is all about. I know that God is not some great 5'11 who will answer my call in the middle of the night for Alka-Seltzer or beer or something. No. We literally do not know how to pray. I take Paul at his word. We do not know how to pray. And so that leaves many of us stymied. Except some of our evangelical friends who know exactly what they need to pray for and exactly what God is supposed to do for them. That's not right. It's simply not right. Because you're giving commands to God instead of trying to listen to what God might want of you. Okay. So there we are, stymied. And that's why I find this passage so strengthening. We don't know how to pray. That's admission one, which is essential, I think, because you come into the process saying, well, I know what to pray. I know what to pray for. This, here's my want list, you know, or my bucket list, or whatever list I can construct. God's not interested in that particularly. He's interested in whatever is going to help you to grow up as a human being. Period. Full stop. What does God want? God wants us to be fully human as adult, mature human beings. But then the plot thickens because what does it mean to be an adult, mature human being? And at that point, spring should be coming out of your head. If you're honest, I haven't a clue. Because as I said a couple of weeks ago, if I had laid out an agenda for God, I would be much more messed up than I am right now, having made all my own choices. You know, God, I need this. God, I need this. God, do this. God, do this. Quickly. So in the classical religious position of not knowing, because it's a great tradition of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament has it, we do not know who God is. We do not therefore know who we are, if we're honest with ourselves. And that's why I find this passage so encouraging. So what, Trojan? So you're a bozo. First you have to admit your bozohood, you know, and then you can move on from there. Because you're doing what you should be doing, laying the whole business in the palm of God. We can make the assumption that God knows more about me than I know about me. I think that's a fair assumption. And so all kinds of weird, unexpected, nasty stuff happens in my life. God, what'd you do that to me for? What's the big idea? Fooey. Fooey. That assumes all this wonderful knowledge that you know who God is, that what God wants for me, it don't work. And I think if everybody looks carefully and candidly at their lives, they know that by experience. You pray for something over and over and over again and nothing happens. And the likeliest explanation is you're praying for the wrong thing. And that's where Paul steps in. We do not know how to pray. We do not know what to pray for. And there you have it. So as a radical act of faith, the whole business of the Christian life is rooted in faith. You die, what happens after you die? Beats me, but I know that somehow I'm going to persist in the hands of God in some way that I can't figure out and don't know anything about. And that's enough, or ought to be enough. Forget angels and white clouds and wings and Peter standing at the gate taking roll. And that's all infantile. But many of us grew up with that and find it very difficult to extirpate ourselves from that kind of childish imaginings. I always, though, for years I thought, this is my analogy for prayer. It's like walking in the dark to the edge of a cliff and fully willingly jump off. It's scary. Yeah, it is scary. But you see, you don't know where you're going to land. You don't know how you're going to land, but you believe that you're going to land safely and that God knows more about you than you know about you. So that's why the thing from Paul is such a wonderful... If you want to know if Paul has much experience of prayer, look at this text. I'm sure he didn't want his head cut off. I think the way he died. But he had his head cut off. Jesus didn't want to die, but Jesus died. Not my will, but yours be done. You know? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we just immediately assume, I think, in my experience at least, that we know what God's will for me is. You know? So I'll just trot along in that blessed state of consciousness of what God wants. And that's the end of it. That's as far as we can get if we're honest with ourselves. So, prayer is arduous. Prayer is a struggle in the dark. The Jews had a wonderful metaphor for prayer. It goes to the book of Genesis, Jacob. Jacob wrestling in the dark with God. And the thing that makes Jacob admirable and imitatable is that he didn't know what was going to happen either. But he stuck to it, wrestling, uncertain of how this was to end. But certain of the fact that however it ends, it will be God's ending and not mine.